sit in, for me to relax, for me to rest. I almost took my shoes. The thought crossed my mind to take my shoes off just now. I won't do that. But to sit down and kick my shoes off and just to relax in this chair. The thought crossed my mind to take my shoes off. But when we sat in the chair the first time and it sustained us, it held us up, the next time we went to sit in the chair, we didn't even think about it. We knew that that chair would sustain us. We knew that that chair would hold us up. It's like our faith. There's a lot of things that we did this morning to get here that we actually operated in faith. We don't think of it as faith because we think, oh, well, it's science. It's you know, just different things. But there's a lot of things that we did in faith to even get here this morning. When you jumped in your car this morning and you put the key in, of course, they have buttons now. But when you push that button, you believe that that car was going to start up. Anybody ever believe that their car wouldn't start? Well, I shouldn't say that. Maybe some didn't believe their car would start this morning. But we, for the most part, we believed that when we sat in there and we pushed that button that that car was going to start. We had faith that that car was going to start. When we're driving down the road and we come to the stoplight and you stop at a red, people are the other way are going green, when that light turns green on our side, we had faith that those other people were going to stop. Now, if you're smart, you'll let your light turn green and you'll wait just a second before you go. But we believed that they were going to stop. We had faith that they were going to stop. When you pulled into this parking lot here and you parked your car and you put it in park, you believed that that car, once you put it in park, it wasn't going to go anywhere else. We had faith on a number of different levels as before we even got to this place today. But yet, sometimes, we didn't even question it. Look at that. I didn't even question whether that chair was going to hold me up or not. I just sat down. But sometimes in our faith, we question God. We need to have an unquestioning belief that requires no evidence and no proof in God that we can just come to Him at any given time and sit down. We know. We talked about finances just here just a few minutes ago. We talked about tithes and offerings. That took faith. To receive the word that Kevin spoke, we should receive it in faith. These are promises that God made to us. This is what He's saying to us. When it comes to anything with regards to the Word of God, we should accept it without any question. Just like you, I sat in that chair. I didn't question whether that chair is going to hold me up. I didn't question the color of that chair. I didn't get down here on my hands and knees, chair, I just pray that you hold me up today. I just pray that you sustain me, that you... I didn't get down and do any of that stuff. I just knew that the chair was going to sustain me. That's how our faith needs to be when it comes to the things of God in our life. We need to trust Him that He will sustain us. He will lift us up. He will provide for us. He will heal us. And not only just heal us whole. He'll totally restore everything that we may have lost, just like the woman with the issue of blood. Because I believe when He said, be whole of your infirmity, that she spent everything that she had. And it was only growing worse. I believe when He said that she was whole in every area of her life. We should trust God that way. Never questioning, just like we don't. Y'all sitting in a chair right now. Is anybody worried that chair is going to collapse at any moment? No. We should never be concerned, be scared, be worried that God will abandon us. That God will not sustain us. What did He say? He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you. I'll always supply for you. I'll always pick you up. You might fall down. I'm there to pick you up. He's there in every step of our lives. Title on my sermon this morning, Trust the Chair. Now, do I mean trust this chair? No, the chair represents God. Trust God. Just like we don't think about it, I sit down on this thing here, it sustains me. It holds me up. I look to God of what's going on in my life the struggles I may be having going on in my life, I look to him. I look to him to sustain me. I look to him to hold me up. I don't question him. I trust him. I believe him. That's what our faith is an unquestioning faith, is an unquestioning, unquestioning. We don't question the Bible. Well, you can't just, you know, can't operate like that. Why not? It's the Word of God. Does anybody believe the Word of God in the place here today? So if you believe the Word of God, no matter what it says, does it apply to your life? And walk it out. Now, I will say, you know, this shouldn't seem like an indictment on the struggle. You know, this actually should be motivation in the struggle, to turn to God in the struggle. Anybody ever struggled? Man, sometimes I do. Y'all won't know it, but sometimes I do. Some of you might know it. Some of you may look at me and say, man, Rick, what's wrong with you? Okay. But it should be motivation in the struggle. I mean, life can smack you in the face. There's stuff that we deal with on various levels. I mean, it may be extreme, it may be minor, but there's still stuff that we deal with, things that smack us in the face. And we got to know who we can turn to. Should we pray with one another? Yeah, the Bible says that. But I said it last week. Should that be the first thing you do? Should it be the first person you turn to? If I'm struggling with something, should I call Kevin first? No, I turn to God first. He may direct me to go to Kevin. He may direct me to go to whoever else. But I turn to God first in everything. I have faith in him. You know, if we want to overcome in our faith, then we got to speak and act like overcomers. If we want to be healed, then we need to speak like we're healed. Not like we're going to be. Well, I'm just waiting on the manifestation. No, you're already healed. Yeah, maybe the manifestation hasn't come yet. The complete manifestation. But you're already healed, whether you're sneezing and snotting. Now, you don't deny it. Well, I'm healed. I'm not sick. I'm not sneezing and snotting. Yes, you are. And don't come around me with it. But with every sneeze, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. With every cough, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. With every prescribed medication I take, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. If you want to be an overcomer, if you want to have overcoming faith, you have to have an unquestioning belief and trust in God. Trust the chair. Trust God. Now, there's only one place to get this overcoming faith. Can't pray for it. God, I'm just praying that you give me more faith in this situation here. You can't pray for faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to increase your faith, if we want to walk in a greater level of faith, if we want to be those just people who live by faith, then we've got to know what the Word of God says about our situation. If we're not speaking and acting upon the Word of God, then we're not in faith. We're in hope. We're in wishful thinking. We're in what they call mental assent. But you're not in faith. If we want to be in faith, then we need to know what the Word of God says about our situation, and we need to speak the Word of God over our situation. Whatever situation, yeah, we can pray about our situation, but I'll tell you what, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. What are you saying? I'm going to God. I'm going to say, God, you said. I'm going to remind him what he said. And I'm going to receive it for myself. And you know what? And he's responsible for the results. I'm not. He just tells me to believe. Believe with my whole heart. Speak it out of my mouth, believe it with my whole heart, and I'll have it. And you don't have to do a thing other than believe him, trust him. Take just a minute while you're here and think about what's going on in your life right now. I can stand here and think of a couple of things going on in my life right now. Some situations, some people, some different things that's going on in my life right now. And I'm thinking, okay, do I believe that if I can speak to that mountain? Yeah, I do. Why? Because he said it. In Psalm 121, we're going to look at starting with verse 1. We touched on this verse a little bit last week. New Living Translation says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? And if you read that, there's a question mark at the end of there. So it's asking you a question. So if I look up here, I'm looking up to the pastor. Does my help come from there? No. Just so you know. The Lord can use me to help, and he does. But that's not who I turn to first. It says in verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. And I want the help from the person who made heaven and earth. Because that's what it says. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. My help does not come from my wife. Even though she's my helpmeet. My helpmate. Yeah, it's me. And she's not my servant. Although she's a serving person. If anybody knows her, she's a servant. She's not my servant. But my help doesn't come from her. My help doesn't come from my job. A lot of guys identify with their jobs. I've known guys who work for 30 years in a job, and when they retire, all they do is talk about their job in their retirement, and their life was consumed by their job, and it wasn't long after that they're dead. Physically dead. Because their help, their hope, wasn't, their faith wasn't in God. My help doesn't come from the favorite TV preacher. Now, these aren't bad things. Your wife shouldn't be a bad thing, just so you know, guys, if you're married. She's not a bad thing. Your job's not a bad thing. The Bible talks about if you can't provide for your own family, you're worse than an unbeliever. Ouch. Okay. Favorite TV preacher? I've been going to sleep here lately. I find myself waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning listening again to Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, falling asleep with his stuff playing in the background. But my help doesn't come from him. My help comes from the Lord. You know, we made a statement. Fear says, what if? Faith says, even if. Doesn't matter what you're going through. The Bible is still true. Even if I'm struggling in this area here, even if I'm struggling in my finances, even if I'm struggling in my health, even if I'm struggling in my peace, because we can struggle in those areas and be a believer. Even if my God sustains me. He holds me up. I don't have to be concerned. I ran straight over this chair and sat down. I didn't even think about whether this chair was going to collapse or not. When you run to God, you should never wonder whether he's going to sustain you or not. Because he always, always sustains us. In Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, all of those verses there say, the just shall live by faith. If you're a believer, you should be living by faith. Are we perfect at it? No. But we should be making strides every day. Have faith for something. I've shared this before, and but Miss Dorothy would call me and she'd say, I look for an opportunity to exercise my faith every day. What that means for her, I don't know. What's it mean for you? When you woke up this morning, did you have a concern of some sort? Exercise your faith. Find out what the Word of God says about your concern. Because if you don't know what the Word of God says about your concern, then you've got nothing to stand on. You're concerned. You're concerned with your concern. You got to have the Word of God to stand on. In Psalm chapter 20, verse 6, this is a verse we kind of hammered on Wednesday night. And hammered on it quite a bit on Wednesday night. Talking about having victory in our lives. The only way we're going to have victory in our lives is to trust in the chair. Have faith in God. Psalm chapter 20, verse 6, it says, "Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. Now this I know." Right now, this is what I know. Right now in this current moment, right now in this present time, this is what I know. The Lord gives victory. Right now in this present time, this is what I know, that my God gives me the victory. Right now in this present time, in this current moment, my God gives me the victory. Right now, in this present time, this is a thing that I know. My God gives me the victory. My God gives me the victory. My God is a giver. Get Psalm 20, verse 6, down in your spirit. What is it that you, what victory do you need? In what area of your life do you need to be walking in victory? Because right here in Psalms it says, "Now this is what I know." You can say it like that. Let's get down. Now this is what I know. My God gives me the victory. It's not boastful. It's not prideful. It's a matter of fact. What are you going through? And you can know that your God will give you the victory. And then keep going. Find out what it takes to get that victory. What word do I need to stand on? What word do I need to act on? He's going to give me the victory. He's given me the victory. Romans chapter 4. This is verse 17. Talking about Abraham here. This is a perfect picture of faith. This is how our faith should work right here. I'm going to start with verse 17. It says, "As it is written, I have made you, Abraham, a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist, calls those things which do not exist as though they did." Woo! You don't see that money in your bank? It's not in your bank account right now? Call it. "Who contrary to hope, in hope, believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith," or you could say, and being strong in faith, Abraham was strong in faith, "he did not consider his own body, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb." I think she's around 90 years old. Gonna have a kid at 90. Who wants a kid at 90 years old? I didn't see any hands raised up. Okay. I want one at 60. "And not being weak in faith," or being strong in faith, "he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver. He did not withdraw. He did not hesitate at the promise of God through unbelief." He did not hesitate. He did not withdraw. He did not walk in unbelief. He walked in faith, believing what God said was true. We've got a whole book of promises here of what God has said about us and about our lives. We should not walk in unbelief in any area of our life. We should trust God in every area of our life here. He did not waver at the promise of God. He did not waver at the words of God. We have the word of God. We should not waver. The just shall live by faith. Through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Being fully convinced that what God has promised, he will also perform. Abraham was fully convinced that what God had promised him, he was able to perform. Abraham did not walk in unbelief. He did not waver. He didn't hesitate. He didn't draw back. He was fully convinced that the words that God spoke to him, he was able to perform. I am fully convinced that the words that God has spoken to me, he is able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him as righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but also for us. This was written for us. He promised Abraham, he's no respecter of persons. There's promise. We have the blessing of Abraham. He has promised us that he will do what he said he will do. And we don't have to question as to whether this chair will hold you up. Trust in the chair. Trust in God. In John chapter 14, starting with verse 12, Jesus is speaking some things to his disciples that apply to us today. I feel like I'm hitting a wall right now. We're going to break through here in just a second. Maybe if I had a couple of amens, I'd be feeling better here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But the faith that Jesus has wanted us to operate in is right here in John chapter 14. He says, I tell you the truth. So what he's saying is, no, really, listen to what I'm saying, because this is the truth. Just listen to me. He's saying, anyone, is there anyone's in the room? I'm an anyone. Anyone who believes in me, anybody believe in him in the room? Okay, I got three people that believe in him. Okay, good. At least that's a start. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done. Rick, you're crazy. How in the world can we do the things that Jesus did? Well, what did he say? Didn't the word just say that? If the word said it, I believe it. And you know what? I usually say, the word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. No, the word said it, I believe it, and he settled it. He settled it. He said, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I've done. Man, you got to know what the works, does anybody know any of the works that Jesus did? Find the word where it says some of the works that he did. And when you're faced with a situation like that, he says to go on all the world and preach the gospel. But then he also talks about casting out demons. Anybody ever come face to face with a demon before? Then he goes down a little further in verse 18, I think it is, and he says, and you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Those are works that Jesus did. Now, he did some things that I'm not so sure that I'd have to really know that was him. When he spit in some mud, or somebody's tongue, and yeah, that's yeah. I have a hard time even envisioning that right now. But Carrie and I, we don't even eat after each other. We don't drink out of the same cup. Somebody asked me one time, well, how do you guys, and I was real serious about this too. They said, well, how do you even kiss? And I said, we don't. straight faced. And then I walked away from them. I don't know what they were thinking, but, you know, I had to mess with them. But it says here, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. And then verse 13, it says, you can ask for anything in my name. Now, the anything in his name, we just talked about we're going to do the works that Jesus did. So we're not talking about ask for any crazy thing in his name. Anybody know what I mean by crazy? I'm not asking for, you know, I'm not even going to go there. There's so many crazy thoughts we could plant in each other's mind. If it's not in line with the word of God, then you're not getting it. But it says here, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it. So why? So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. And then he repeats himself. The Bible repeats itself, pay attention to that. It says, yes, ask for anything in my name. And I will do it. Have you ever heard the term actions speak louder than words? Anybody ever said that? I have. In James chapter 2, we're going to go there next. In James chapter 2, verse 14. We're talking about faith. We're still talking about faith. But what was it I said here early on? I said, the words that come out of our mouths and what we do will determine where our faith is at. In James chapter 2, starting with verse 14, it says, what does it profit, my brethren and sistren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Well, some people take that word works, well, we got to work our way into faith and we got to do all these different things otherwise. No. It says here, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone has faith and but does not have works, does not have a corresponding action to the faith that you have? There needs to be corresponding action. Can faith save him? When you look at Romans 10, 9 and 10, it talks about confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart. Okay, I got a head knowledge that, you know, Jesus died for me. But sometimes it requires something. Can faith save him? If a brother and sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you don't give them things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have words or a corresponding action to follow it, says it's dead. The Bible goes on to talk about here how even the devils believe and tremble. You can say, I believe in Jesus, but you don't do what the Bible says. Do you have faith? You know, growing up, I never worried or was never concerned where my next meal was going to come from. It's just the type of household I grew up in. My dad worked for 31 years for Caterpillar, and my mom worked for a company called Foster and Gallagher for a number of years. And so I was never concerned. It never entered my mind whether I was going to have food. It never entered my mind that come every August I was going to get brand new clothes to go to school. That was the August thing. Go get a new pair of socks, shoes, all that different type of stuff. And was never concerned about those types of things. I never wondered if we were going to go on vacation or not. And my dad working at Caterpillar, you could guarantee that they were going on strike every 3 years. Just the way they did. But you know what? We went on vacation every year. During one strike, we hopped in the car and we drove to California. Went to the ocean, went to Disney World, went to Disneyland. Out there, didn't you? Went to all those different types of places. Never concerned about it. Never entered my mind that we wouldn't go on vacation. Never entered my mind that I wouldn't have something to eat. Never entered my mind that I wouldn't have clothes. I never saw my mom and dad ever concerned about money. Never concerned when strike time was coming around. Now, my mom was an extreme saver. My mom knew how to put money away. My knows how to put money away. How do I know? Because I'm the executor of her estate. I know what she's put away. But she still knows how to put stuff away. She still knows. But I was never concerned about it growing up. Now, I found out years later that my dad could not stand to eat eggs. Never knew that growing up. Why couldn't he stand to eat eggs? Because he ate eggs almost every meal to make sure that our kids never, his kids never wanted for anything. Matter of fact, he couldn't stand hot dogs either. Hot dogs and eggs. Back then, eggs were a lot less than $8 a dozen back then, just so you know. But we were never concerned about it. Well, you know what? God's not eating eggs and hot dogs. And we still don't have to be concerned where our provision's going to come from. We still don't have to be concerned whether this chair is going to hold me up or not. I don't have to be concerned. Matter of fact, I'm leaning back and it's rocking. I'm not even concerned whether the bolts are going to hold or this wood's going to crack or anything like that. I'm not concerned. I'm not concerned even to this day, even though Carrie, my wife, is probably just, she would still have our first dollar, but I spent that a long time ago. It's gone. But she's that type of person too. She's a saver. It was funny, we got ready to leave yesterday for that solo and ensemble contest. And usually when we take off on a trip like that, I think, I'm just going to go get a biscuit at McDonald's. You know, and a biscuit at McDonald's now, I don't even know how much that costs. It's not cheap anymore. She made sure to tell me before we left the house, hey, why don't you go ahead and heat up your breakfast thing you have in the freezer there? Because she didn't want to spend any money on McDonald's. She's a saver. She's a pincher. But that's okay. I'm fortunate that I have a wife who hates shopping. She doesn't like to go shopping for clothes. She doesn't like to do any of that stuff. So I'm very fortunate. But I'm not concerned when it comes to the Word of God. If I'm a just person and I'm walking in faith every day, I should never be concerned. The word worry should never be in our vocabulary. We came back from, Carrie and I used to live in Colorado. We got married. The night before we got married, my best man went up to her and said, oh, I hear you guys moving to Colorado. And she said, we are? I hadn't told her yet. And we're getting married the next day. Well, this June will be 41 years. She's still around. But we moved to Colorado. We were out there for a period of time, and then we moved back to Illinois. And her grandmother knew that we were moving back to Illinois. But we came back a day early. And so we got back a day early, and we called her grandmother and said, hey, we're back. And her grandmother said, oh, that's so good. I was just getting ready to worry about you guys. Well, we saved you a day's worth of worry, you know. But with God, we don't have to worry when it comes to the things of God. We don't have to worry whether we're going to be supplied for. We don't have to worry when we're going through a situation that we don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. We know that we can have faith enough to turn to Him and believe that He's going to hold us up. He's going to sustain us. He may direct us to get help from someone else. He may direct us to have somebody to come lay hands on the sick. He may direct us to do various things, but our first thought process should be to go to Him. The just will live by faith in Him and Him alone. Because you come to me, don't have your faith in me, because I might let you down. Not on purpose, but I might let you down. But don't have your faith in me, have your faith in Him and have it in Him alone. Psalm 23, starting with verse 1. It says, the Lord, He's my shepherd. So if He's a shepherd, what does that make us? That's what that makes us, just so you know. Did that sound like a sheep? I think that was a sheep. Wasn't a goat. That wasn't a goat. But if He's a shepherd and we're the sheep, what does a shepherd do? He takes care of the sheep. The sheep know His voice and they'll not follow anybody else. He fights off the enemy for the sheep. If one of the sheep wanders off, He goes and gets them and brings them back. Carrying them on His shoulder, rejoicing. I found the one, got him back to the flock. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Or it says, I shall not want. If the Lord is my shepherd, he's saying that I have all that I need. He supplies all that I need. Can we get that mindset? We have, because God is our shepherd, there is nothing that we have need of. There's no way that we should lack in any area of our lives. He's saying, I am willing. It's like the blind man. He said, if you're willing, I can see. And Jesus says, I'm willing. That's how we have to look. We got to look at the Bible as matter of fact. He said it, I believe it, and he had said it. He's already settled it. Look at it as matter of fact. I keep saying this. What are you going through right now? Find out what the Word says about it and say, that's a matter of fact. I can look at that and I can trust in that. And I don't have to waver in any way, shape, or form. Because he said it, he promised it, and if he doesn't come through on it, of course we know he will. Hebrews 11:6. I was telling the ministry team this morning that if somebody comes at you and says, oh, I got this new revelation, run. It might be new to them. They may not have seen it before, but chances are Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Do you, anybody want to please God? Well, then walk in faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, some people can look at that at a couple of different ways. Some people look at that verse and say, must believe that he is or believe that he exists. Well, if you look at that chapter in the Bible, there's all kinds of people in that chapter there that already believe who God is. So how else can you look at it? For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Must believe that he's what? Must believe that he's your healer. Must believe that he's your provider. Must believe that he's your peace giver. Must be that he's the one that brings joy. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is those things. And then what's it say? And that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him in those areas. What are you going through? Are you seeking his word? Are you seeking his voice, trying to hear his voice? Are you seeking guidance? Are you seeking direction? And if you are, and you're walking in faith, you're pleasing him, he's saying he's going to reward you in those areas. Who? What is it that you need? What do you need this morning? Ask yourself, what do I need this morning? Go home today and say, God, here's where I'm at. And then find the word that corresponds to that and stand on that word. Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 46. We may get through this, we may not. I'm in no hurry. It says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the crowd yelled at him. But he only shouted louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. We're going through some junk. There will be people that tell you, be quiet. We need to follow Bartimaeus' example here. shout all the louder. Shout all the louder. When Jesus heard him, now, I can talk like this, and Jesus will hear me. But sometimes I just need to shout. Either way, he hears me. And in Bartimaeus' situation right here, it says, when Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man, cheer up. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus is asking you, what do you want him to do for you? What do you need Jesus to do for you today? He's asking. Bartimaeus wasn't anything more special than anybody in this room. He's asking, what do you want me to do for you today? My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. Rabbi, I need peace in my life. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith, not my faith, your faith in him, your unquestioning belief in him that requires no proof or evidence, your faith has healed you, has provided for you to the point where I can come. He says, what do you need? And I can sit down and I can have confidence in knowing that he's going to meet my need. Faith in him. Don't put your faith in people. Don't put your faith in circumstances. Don't put your faith in anything except him. When you're going through a trial, when you're going through something, the weapons that have been formed against you, when you're going through something, turn to him first. Wait on him. Sometimes we turn to him. God, I need your help. Oh, would you help me? Oh, hey, so-and-so. Hey, could you pray for me? Wait on him. He's ready and willing to speak to you. He wants to speak to you. You know, I've had concern, and not just one. We have three kids. I had to think about it just for a second. But we have three kids. And, you know, a couple of them have made some choices that dad hasn't agreed with. And dad voiced his opinion loudly. But you know what? I'd lay in bed at night thinking about that. I didn't have peace. Just sitting there rolling over and over in my mind. What are they doing? What are they thinking? They know better. They weren't raised that way. Now, they're not still being goofy right now, but they were goofy. I call it goofy. But I didn't have any peace about it. Turned it over in my mind night after night after night after night. And once I finally got to the point where I could actually quit talking, he said, trust me. And so I turned it over to him. And then I had to find Bible to back that up. Well, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Give all your worries, give all your concerns, give all your fears, give them to God, for he cares for you. Verse 8, be alert. Watch out for the great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's looking to keep those thoughts, those concerns, those worries stirred up inside you. You got to stand firm against him and be strong in faith. Be strong in faith. Trust God. Have an unquestioning belief that what God says is true. Be strong in faith. Don't waver, just like Abraham said. He didn't waver, said he was confident. He couldn't be swayed. Stand firm against him and be strong in faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering. You're not the first one that's gone through this stuff. There's people all around the world going through the same thing, and he's telling everybody the same thing here. Stand firm in the faith. Resist. The Bible talks about resisting the devil and he'll flee. Well, how in the world do you resist the devil? You resist him with the word of God coming out of your mouth. That's how Jesus resisted him when he was being tempted in the wilderness. I'll give you all this. It is written. Come up on this pinnacle, jump. They won't let you dash your foot. It is written. He's saying it's written. It just takes one prayer of faith. Trusting what God says to change everything. It'll change everything. It'll change everything. I'm gonna end it right there. I've got more, but I'm going to end it right there. We're talking about faith. And we're talking about faith in God. I likened this chair to God. I just sit down. When it comes to the things that I'm facing in life, I shouldn't even think about it. I should be thinking about what does the Word say and apply that to myself. And where it's to the point where I don't think about whether God's going to come through or not. I know that when I apply the Word to my situation, it's done. Whistling. My daughter hates it when I whistle, but I like to whistle. But I can just walk away and not be concerned about it at all ever again. Matter of fact, at that point there, when I prayed that prayer of faith, at that point, from that point on, it's all about thanksgiving. It's all about praise. We sang about praise this morning. That was on purpose. We need to learn how to praise. We shouldn't ask God for something and then just wondering won't make it happen. Faith in him and thanksgiving. We're going to receive communion this morning. Faith in what Jesus did. He took the sins of the world upon himself, died for us to bring us back into fellowship with God, reconciled us, bled, died. They said, I can't get the right King James word because I'm not King James. They didn't know he was a human being. He was beaten so badly. Did not look human. Why did he do it? Because he loves us. And that's why I can take what that word of God says right there and accept it without question. He said it, I believed it, believe it, and that settles it. He settled it. When he died on that cross, he settled everything.